Amen. What a tremendous reminder that we are blessed. And our God is always good, no matter what the circumstances. God is always good. Have your Bibles with you tonight. Look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Getting started tonight, I wanted to read verse 42 down to verse 47. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. In Acts in chapter 2, verse 42, this first century church, the church that the Lord Jesus Christ established, and how they're conducting themselves after Christ ascended into heaven, and lo told them that he would ever be with them, with the Father ever living to make intercession for them. And we find in verse 42, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Then verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And let's pray. Father, again, as we bow before you, we just thank you for the church. And we thank you, God, that you've established it. And what a tremendous blessing it is to us when we look to the church as you have designed it, as we look to be a part of the church, as you would have every member to be a part of the body, and the blessings that we receive from it. And tonight, Father, as we've assembled here together in your name, we know that you're here in the midst with us. And we know, God, that you have a blessing, and we've already been blessed just being in this place. Thank you for the songs we've already sung and the special and message and through the special that was sang. And Father, as we get ready for the testimonies, I just pray that you would just, again, just meet with each one that's here. Give them insight into what you would have them to receive from this praise night service. That we will leave here more thankful than what we were when we came in. Blessed in the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The New Testament church together. What a tremendous blessing. We just came through a series on teaching on that New Testament church and the difference it made and how that we continue to do the very same things. And it's God's design. God's design for the church hasn't changed. And if we understand the church as God would have us to, then you'll receive such a blessing from it. As we just continue to do as God would have us to do, I believe that he adds to the church on a regular basis. And we've seen that here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church and how God has continued to add to this church simply because we're doing the work that he's called us to do. And every time God adds somebody to the church, it strengthens this church to be able even to accomplish more. I remember just a few years ago while out knocking on some doors, and I met a lady answer the door, and she had come to the door and really not too excited about answering the door, I don't think, at the time, but got talking to her, introduced myself as a pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and when I said Baptist Church, I could tell it just kind of done something for her, a light click. And she said, "You know, my dad's a Baptist preacher, and my uncle's a Baptist preacher out of state, and we've not been in church, and I know that they've been on me about being in church and all what's going on." And so it led into me talking to her and find out she had claimed she was saved. Her husband was not saved, and she said that he had been asking a lot of questions and invited them to come to church. And they came to church and made some decisions while they're here for a brief period of time. But one of the things that they did while coming to the church, they started telling others. And she invited her daughter to the church. And her daughter is the one that I'm going to ask to come tonight to be our first, to give our first testimony, and that's Lakin Montgomery. And I know she is very much, you can come now, Lakin. She's very nervous, as many of them are. They're not used to getting in front of a congregation such as this, and she'll be scared to death, no doubt about it. But I believe God is going to give her a calmness and going to give her liberty to be able to just give her testimony, because I think that her testimony will be a blessing to the church. And just realizing that even though she's not the one we reached out door to door, but we reached her mother, who now is out of state, living out of state, but through that we reached Lakin. And her husband, Travis, is back over here, and they have been faithful members of the church now for a couple of years or so. I'm sure she'll have that in her testimony. But she's one the Lord put on my heart to ask to come to be our first speaker tonight in giving a testimony. So, Lakin, won't you come?
This is scary. Okay. I grew up in Virginia. And as a child, I attended church. I never fully understood the gospel. We lived in such a small town, and it was the country. We didn't have junior church or anything when we were little. At age 9, I moved here to Indiana. My family attended church here and there, but it was nothing consistent. Moving from a small town to a big city like this was really hard for me, as I'm sure it is for anybody. In high school, I started hanging around the wrong people. I was living in sin. And at age 17, Travis and I were hanging around the same crowd. We started dating at 18, and I became pregnant with our first child not long after. I was so scared. I didn't know what to do from that point. Most importantly, I was scared what my family was going to think of us. And I should have been concerned on how God was going to feel. We didn't have the same outlook on marriage as we do now, of course. Around 2 years went by, and we were still not living right. Travis didn't make very much at his job. We became pregnant with our second child. Not long after, we decided to get married, knowing that this was the right thing to do. Travis got an opportunity at a good-paying job. His mom worked there, and she was high up. We had our hopes up. We knew he was going to get this job. He went for the first interview, and everything went well. We knew that he had it. He went for his second interview, and they told him he didn't get it. We were lost at this point. We didn't know where to go, what to do. We were barely making it on our own, and now we had another child on the way. A couple of months had went by, and he was still working at his job. He got another opportunity at another good-paying job, but it took investing, and it took so much money up front, and it was so much up front, and we didn't even know that really the outcome. He wanted to look into it, and I kept telling him, no, this isn't going to work out. I didn't have my hopes of it all. He ended up, it just seemed impossible, the whole thing did. He ended up looking into it and speaking with the company, and he looked into it even more, and everything just worked out. He got a loan for the route. He got this big truck that we had enough money for the down payment, and things were finally starting to look up. This was all God, of course, but at this time, we did not see it. We weren't realizing it at all. I've always struggled with worrying and fear, and I've never been able to enjoy anything in life. I was always scared of the what-ifs. From attending church in the past and my grandparents being such a godly influence in my life, I knew that I needed to be saved to go to heaven. We were traveling down to Virginia to meet with our family and visit, and I mentioned to Travis on the way down there that I wanted to get baptized while I was there. He agreed to go with me that next Sunday, and he'd never been in church, really. We went to the church that my family attends, and I was just had my mind set on getting baptized after church. And he listened to the church. I wasn't even paying attention, really. And after Travis had heard the gospel for the first time, he came under conviction, and he accepted the Lord that day. We come back home, and we started to try to live right. My mom had attended some here at Lighthouse, from pastor knocking on our door and inviting her here. It's just amazing how God works. I'd come a couple times before even going to Virginia to get baptized, but this was sometime around August or September of 2011. My family and I, after we come back, we started attending here just Sunday mornings shortly after. After coming for a couple months, we decided to come to a Wednesday night service, and Brother Andy stopped us and invited us to a Sunday school class. We went that next Sunday, and from there on out, we've pretty much been there ever since. In May, I started questioning my salvation. I'd been under God's word, the preaching of his word, for about 6 months. And on May 14th, I woke up and I had horrible thoughts. I knew I needed to talk to somebody about the way that I was feeling. I had a bulletin from here at church, and it had the number on it, but that was the last thing I wanted to do was call. It was so early. It was like 8 or 9 o'clock. I can't really remember. My thoughts were, it's early. No one will be there. I'll just call, and at least I'll feel better about that I called. So the first ring, Brother Andy answers. At this point, I'm just crying. I'm sure he can barely understand anything I have to say. I explained to him how I was feeling and what was going on. And he asked me to get my Bible out, and we go through Romans Road together. And I'd realized I'd never asked Jesus in my heart. After getting off the phone, I prayed and asked the Lord to be my Savior. That following Sunday, Travis and I, well, Andy and Tree had come visit us that next following night. And then the next Sunday, Travis and I get baptized and become members of the church. And this past May was a year, so this coming May will be 2 years that we've been members. Since then, we've become involved with Junior Church and Nursery, and Travis is also a trustee. The Lord has worked in our lives so much. We had no close friends anymore because of the way that we were trying to live our lives for the Lord. Now we have some amazing friends here at Lighthouse. It's so neat to look back and see how God was working in our lives. I'm so thankful for this church. Now, since our lives have changed so much, we're seeing Travis's family coming and they're being interested in God's word. And this is such a blessing to see. Probably my biggest blessing is my children. They come home and tell me the stories they've learned here. I hear their little voices singing church songs and tell me stories that they've learned. It brings joy to my heart. We just had our third child, and it feels so good to have done it the right way. Our daughter was born with a rare condition. After I found out this news, there were so many unknowns about the whole thing. It was really rare, and they couldn't tell me a lot. We went for testing, and all I could do was pray. We had to wait for a couple weeks before we found out anything. God gave me such peace about this whole situation. I just knew that he was in control and I could depend upon him. We found out that it was a milder case than what they thought. So when she gets a little bit older, we have to go for further testing, but it wasn't as serious as they think. Without having the Lord to depend on during this time, I wouldn't have been able to make it. I wouldn't have been able to handle it the way that I did. And he just brought me so much peace. I can't even explain. He has blessed us more than we ever deserve. Looking back on my life, God was working in our lives before we ever even committed ourselves to him. And I'm so thankful to where he's brought us from and to where we're at today. And I know he's got so much more planned for us. I love that song that says, "Where would I be had he not reached for me and saved me just in time?" That song just like sums up my whole life. I had no peace or joy or happiness, and I couldn't enjoy anything. And I was looking for it in all the wrong places. But the Lord, he has just gave it to me all now. I had nothing, and now I have it all. The Lord has changed me and my family's life, and I'm so grateful for it. I thank God that he came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. The Bible says in Psalms 34:4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." That's so true. I've always wanted to stand up and give a testimony, but I just never had the boldness to do it. I just want to thank the Lord for all he's done in our lives and for how he's led us here. Out of all the churches, this is where he's brought us. And thank Pastor and Mrs. Tiff for being such wonderful examples for us to live by. And everyone here for being such a positive influence on me and my family's life, and my children especially. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord for all he's done. The Bible says in verse 47 there, that was praising God and having favor with all the people. I'm so thankful for God's church and how it becomes the family of God. That's what he calls it, the household of God. 28 years ago, God established the church here in a storefront over off of East Washington Street. And we had been praying just how God was going to use the different ones and who was going to be doing what and what have you. And we started praying for a pianist. And during that time, God sent us Sandy Arnold. And since that time, 28 years ago, Sandy and Bob Arnold have been faithful members of this church. And as we go through and face the struggles of life, because of the church being the household of God, the family of God, we never go without having family help. And Sandy, most everyone knows, has been battling cancer now for some time. And it's been a blessing to see her faith through this all. And it's been a blessing to see how the church family has been very supportive and very helpful to that as well. And so Sandy Arnold, I'm going to ask her to come at this time. She's the next one that God put upon my heart to have and come and give us a testimony tonight.
Greetings, earthlings. I say that because I'm so far out of my comfort zone that I'm in a different country. Pastor called, and I thank you for the privilege of doing this. I wanted to tell him no really, really bad. But God has been so good to me that I couldn't, in good conscience, say no. And I want to just take a second and personally thank my family and friends and my church family. You're right, Pastor. They have wrapped their arms around me and supported me. No one could feel more loved and supported than I do. And words can't express how good my church family and family has been to me, and some friends here tonight. I appreciated them coming. I'll tell you a little bit about how I became a Christian, how I came about a Christian. When I was little, I walked to a nearby church for Bible school and Sunday school, kind of right around the corner. And then a bus came through our neighborhood from a little country church, Grace Baptist Church, in a little town called Mohawk, Indiana. And I started riding that bus, and it was there at the age of 9, September 64, that I asked Jesus in my heart. After that, Dad started driving the family, and I went to that church until I was 22. When the youth pastor left our church to start his own church, I left to go play the piano just on Wednesday nights at first. I put the man of God on a pedestal, and he disappointed me, and sadly, I was out of church for a little while. But while I was at that church, I met Pastor's younger sister, Penny, and she knew that I sort of played the piano. And what I mean by sort of played the piano is no formal training, none of that good stuff. And I had previously played only for junior church kids and in a church that was the size of a hospital chapel. But that led to a phone call from another one of Pastor's sisters, Linda, saying, "We're starting a church and we're in need of a piano player. Would you come?" I wanted to tell her no. I told her I would pray about it, and I did pray about it. And I threw everything at God I could come up with. He won. I played here the very first church service and for 20 years after that. Fast forward to now, because I'm very limited in time. 2 years ago, I had a little bit of a cough, wasn't much, and I spit up just a little bit of blood a couple times, and I knew that something wasn't right, but I'm not a big doctor person, so I said, okay, I'm going to give it a week to go away. If it doesn't go away, then I'll go to the doc. It didn't go away. So I went to the doctor, and she did a chest x-ray, and she came back, and she said, "This is the last thing I really expected to be telling you, but you have a mass in your right lung about the size of a golf ball." So my head just started spinning as I'm walking out of her office, calling Bob, telling him this is going on. I'm on my way to a stat MRI. And I thought, how could this be? I've never smoked. I've never been around secondhand smoke. Really, a mass? Well, the next few days were just a blur of tests and biopsies and waiting. Stage 3B, lung cancer. As I was processing all that meant, the Holy Spirit seemed to take over my thoughts. and a sweet peace flooded my soul. And those of you that are close to me know that from the very beginning, I had that peace, and it's continued. It doesn't waver. I had been saved since I was 9 years old, and this wasn't my first rodeo. So it was suddenly clear to me that God already knew that I could handle this trial, or he would have never brought me to it. And I felt like to go kicking and screaming into this trial would be an insult to a sinless, holy God who makes no mistakes. He has my best interest in mind. He gave his son to die for me, and he knows the big picture. I felt like I should say, "Reporting for duty, sir." And so from then till now, my goal has been to make my Heavenly Father proud. I believe that trials make us stronger, better people, and they increase our faith. Pastor said, when you see God for who he is, the giants will shrink. And to shrink the size of your problem by increasing your faith. Speaking of shrinking, let me share with you that through 2 years of chemo, radiation, unsuccessful surgery, and all the ups and downs that go with a now stage 4 cancer, that God is shrinking. Right now, the medication I'm on is not only stopping the progression of the growth of new cancer, but shrinking what I have in all areas. God is shrinking the size of my problem, and I hope that my faith is increasing too. I can't take credit for this illustration. It's Merv's, but it stuck with me. I was going to have Tommy help me, but Bob said nobody's ever done that before, so I didn't want to get too crazy up here. But keep in mind, this is just an illustration. Don't take it literally. But say that your faith is about the size of a pizza box. I figure everybody can relate to that. A small trial comes along and say you can't pay your light bill and your lights get turned off. If your faith is only this big, then it's not going to take much to knock you off your faith. God wants us to learn from our trial. So pick yourself up and dust yourself off and grow your faith. Then when something big comes along, like say maybe lung cancer, you won't be so easily knocked off of your faith. Bigger trials need bigger faith. If your faith is large, then you're less likely to be left by the wayside, defeated by Satan. There are many verses that comfort me, and I claim them and I hold to them. And words to songs bless my heart too. I have written in my Bible, "Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything he's not the master of?" The trio sings a song, and it says that the storm still rages and the enemy still looks for me, but I'm safe under my Lord's wings. You understand that I'm not getting wet, and I am not harmed. Am I sunshine and roses all the time? No. I've had some meltdowns, and Satan comes to visit, and sadly, I allow him to taunt me briefly. This always comes to mind, and I don't know why this always comes to mind. I may have an attitude problem. If you can't change your circumstances, change your attitude. And just last week at home, I was having like a little 5-minute bad attitude spell, and I looked at Bob and I said, "Pastor says if you can't change your circumstances, change your attitude." Because I've told this thing to myself so many times. But sometimes I feel like a little bratty child with a bad attitude. So I have a talk with myself and I try to move on, because the one thing I know that I can control is my attitude. Job 23:10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." 1 Peter 1:6-7, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter's talking to believers, and the heaviness he speaks of is sorrow and grief. He speaks of manifold temptations or many trials. And I believe this temptation is just not, and this is my interpretation. Pastor can correct anything that I butcher when I'm done. But I believe that this temptation is not just a temptation of the flesh where Satan would attack you while you're weak, but it might be the kind of trial that actually tries your heart and tries your faith. You know, without trials, we might have a tendency to become haughty and proud and think that we don't need God. Through trials, we might learn a lesson that we may have not learned any other way. Our trials are compared to the trying of gold by fire. I was curious, so I kind of looked into this thing. It's very interesting. If you get a chance, look up the gold refining process. It's very interesting. But it says the refining process can be time-consuming, repetitive, and very intense. The trying or the firing removes impurities. The gold doesn't increase in the fire. It has to decrease by losing imperfections to become pure. It loses some of itself to become pure. I believe it says for me, if it's needed for a time, my faith might be tested to this end, that no matter how precious or refined the gold is, it's still going to perish. I can't take it with me, but I can be found under praise and honor and glory when Jesus comes. I don't think any of us are going to see pure gold here on earth. But I'm told that you can see through it. I want to be like pure gold. I want people to see through me and see Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the cross of Calvary. In that same passage of Scripture, the Bible says, "And all that believe were together." What a blessing when we assemble ourselves together, knowing that we have a place of refuge. Something about that. You can't find this anywhere else but here, in the church that God has established for His people. And when we come together as God's people, it's just a place of refuge no matter what we have to go through. The next one that I've asked to come and we'll close out the services tonight is Brother Lonnie Schwab. And Lonnie and Brenda were members of the church for many years, served as deacon and deacon's wife. And church has prayed many a prayer for Brenda to be healed. And after several years fighting, battling very difficult disease, God took her home, and heaven held the healing and the answer to prayer. In the midst of that, Brother Lonnie lost his helpmate, his wife, for all those years. Very difficult time, and there's no doubt that what got him through that partially was the refuge that God gave him in his church. And he has been faithful to God and to his church through it all. And I believe that God has rewarded his faithfulness, and he might bring some of that out in his testimony. Brother Lonnie, at this time, I'd ask you to come.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Pastor, for asking me to share my testimony with the church. It's a privilege and honor to even have a testimony. I might take a little more time. Maybe, I don't know. There's a lot to cover. When I started going back over things in my mind, wow, God has blessed in so many ways, countless ways, literally. And I know there'll be much that I miss, but I'm going to try to share the important things that I believe God has blessed my life with. I was born into a military family overseas. My dad was in the Air Force. A moral family, but not a family that we went to church off and on, Sunday morning type church. There wasn't anything there for me as a young person, no youth department, a lot of older folks there, but had a sound family, but not a Christian family. I took my youth department years and turned it into the Boy Scouting program, which was a blessing to me at the time. I learned a lot, went through that whole program through Eagle Scout. It was a blessing. Upon graduation from high school, I decided I wanted to go to Lincoln Technical Institute here in the city of Indianapolis. And I was from a small town in East Central Illinois, and so I was moving to the big city. Nobody I knew here, no family here, but I was going to come over here to go to school. Short story on that, I was working part-time in the evenings, going to school part-time in the afternoons. I met a young lady at work, and I asked her out. It happened to be Brenda's best friend. I didn't know that at the time. But anyway, she said she was going with somebody, but she invited me to a college and career class at a local independent fundamental Baptist church. And that's where I met Brenda. And I met a lot of young men and women my age, single, great college and career class. And I went that one Sunday morning, went to the class, I met several people, including Brenda, heard the gospel for the very first time in my life. I'd never heard that, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'd never heard I'd been a sinner. I didn't know anything about any of that. Well, the next morning, Monday morning, I was at my apartment in downtown Indianapolis, which was close to the school, and a knock came to the door. Who's knocking on my door about 10 o'clock on a Monday morning, because I didn't go to school till afternoon, didn't work till evening. And lo and behold, it was that Sunday school teacher. Claude Cook was his name. And I invited him in, and he led me to the Lord. That very morning, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I praise God for that. I praise God that there's not a day go by that I don't picture that very moment of salvation there at 13th and Delaware, downtown Indianapolis. Praise God for that. Well, Mr. Cook didn't just lead me to the Lord. He started discipling me. In the meantime, Brenda and I started dating, and I got out of school, moved back to Illinois. We dated long distance. On June 7th, 1980, we got married. Praise God for that. A lovely woman, my bride, loved her very much. In May of 81, the Lord gave us our first child. Sarah was born to us, and praise God for that. But shortly thereafter, Brenda developed a very severe eye problem and vision problem. It led to her being legally blind for a few years. And I mean legally blind. She could see, but it was very blurry. Of course, she couldn't work or drive or anything like that. So the first few years of our marriage, especially with a newborn, it was kind of challenging. But we really got faithful in the church, a sister church at the time. And we started, just serving the Lord. We knew that's what we needed to do, and raise our daughter in church. And we stayed faithful. I remember the first ministry we got into, Pastor, you'll remember this, teaching me how to drive that old bus. And we had a bus route. I remember putting Sarah in the car seat right there on the bus, and we'd take that bus out. And that was the first ministry that Brenda and I got involved in. But we stayed faithful, and through many procedures and much prayer, God gave Brenda her sight back, and praise God for that. Then along came Alicia in 1985, and we were getting deeper and deeper involved in church, and I was a deacon, and we were involved in the young married class, involved in, of course, the bus ministry, soul winning, and so on. And then the man, Claude Cook, had to retire from teaching the college and career class at that time because of his health, and God led me to teach that class. So it's kind of neat how God works. He uses a man who's dedicated his life to serving to lead a man to the Lord. And then God leads that man to take over that man's position and start teaching that same class. That's a blessing, but that's how God works. And as I saw God working in that way, we just stayed faithful and raised our family in church, served Him. In 1992, God moved us over here to Lighthouse. Well, we stayed faithful and got right busy here at Lighthouse and faithfully serving, raising our girls as a deacon here, got involved in the Good News ministry, again, singing in the choir, soul winning. And then God right away opened up the opportunity to teach the college and career class here at Lighthouse. I guess it was just meant to be. And God moved in a mighty way there. Saw so many blessings while teaching. A lot of people nowadays, they look at Sunday school and go, oh, I can just go to church. Who needs Sunday school? Sunday school's for little kids. No, Sunday school's for big kids too. Because I got saved by Sunday school. I started teaching Sunday school, and I saw the blessing a college and career class could be to so many people. I'll give you an example how God just shows you those little things in your ministries to keep you steadfast and faithful and excited about what He's doing in your life. We had a young lady visit our class here at Lighthouse at the college and career class, and first time here. And Brenda and I made that return visit and wanted to meet her, get to know her. And believe it or not, she lived in the same apartment building at 13th and Delaware that I got saved in 1979. Now, see, only God can do that, because God, He knew I just needed to be encouraged by that. And those kind of things keep you motivated, keep you in the faith, keep you serving Christ. Those little tidbits. Oh boy, that was a blessing to see so many young people come through that class over the years. And many of you are in here that have come through that college and career class. And what a blessing that was. Well, we watched our girls get saved and grow here at Lighthouse and through their Sunday school programs, Awanas, the youth department, etc. God was truly blessing our home. Brenda was a wonderful wife. We had great kids. We were faithful. We served the Lord. But sometimes life takes a turn. 2000-2001, Brenda had been working in a good job, and she passed out at work. After some testing, it was revealed that she had lupus. All three types. It attacked her kidneys, bones, joints, and many other areas, as it does and it can. Of course, they started medicines right away, and we started praying. And of course, she had to stop working and driving. And the medicines were helping some, but we also recognized that lupus was something that was controllable to a certain extent. And the medicine used to control it could have quite a few side effects, and it did. We stayed serving together as long as we could, faithful. But over the course of time, over the course of years, the sickness worsened, and we had to adjust how we served the Lord a little bit, even to the point of stopping the teaching of the college and career class. It just was too much for us with her health condition, and God knew that. But you know, as we adjusted our serving and how we served the Lord together, that became difficult But yet our prayer life and our devotional time together grew stronger. I praise God for that, because those latter years with her sickness, even though we couldn't serve in God's house like we once did, we had a stronger relationship as a husband and wife. That's what God does. He takes that trial, and if we'll allow Him, uses it for His glory. Actually uses it to draw us closer to Him and closer to each other. I remember often Brenda would say, in the latter few years, when she was so sick, most times she couldn't make it to church services. And I felt sometimes guilty for going, leaving her. She'd always say, "You go, hon, you go. You stay in the services. You stay faithful. Because I need you to be my spiritual leader. I need you to be my strength." See, she knew that's what she needed, and she knew that's what I needed. She was always the encourager, and no matter what, even on the worst of days, she had that beautiful smile. Well, time went on, and moments changed to some uncertainty. One afternoon, as often I would routinely, on the way home from work, I call the house, let her know I'm on my way, and she would get ready to greet me as best she could. And this one afternoon, mid-October 2011, I called on my way home, and her voice was a little hesitant. She said, "I probably won't be able to greet you like I normally do." And so I got home and saw her on the floor in front of the sofa. Couldn't move. And I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I just stood up and my leg just went and I fell and I can't move." Well, she had broken her leg just above the knee. And so that took us to the hospital and two surgeries on that leg, facing a very long and painful recovery. A week or so went by. Alicia had planned to come in for a visit. And this was the latter part of October of 2011. Friday night, I was with her at the hospital, and as we always did before I left that hospital that Friday night, we would read some scripture and I would pray with her. And I told her I was going to go out to the airport. Her flight was going to be coming in late. And I would pick her up and we'd go to the house, and then we would see Brenda on Saturday. Praise the Lord for that. Well, along about 4 or 5 in the morning, Saturday morning, I get a phone call from the hospital. Go to the hospital, and Brenda is in critical care. She had stopped breathing, and wow, what a change. Well, family gathered at the hospital that weekend. Much prayer went up by you folks, family. We stayed there night and day and prayed, asked God to heal her and get her through this. Doctors looked at several things. There was a lot of ifs. If this happens. I had a special blessing in prayer that morning I'd like to share with you. How God, again, once again, you stay faithful and He's going to give you what you need when you need it. Early that Sunday morning of that weekend, she was still on a breathing machine and all kinds of tubes and stuff. We were taking turns going in one at a time and just checking on her. And it was about 3 a.m. Sunday morning. And I had gone in, and we had to gown up, you know, put gloves on and a gown to go in and stand beside her and pray with her and talk to her. And the room that was being cleaned right beside hers, there was a gentleman in there cleaning. And I kind of recognized him. He looked at me and seemed to kind of recognize me. Finally, he said, "Preacher?" And I said, no, sir, I'm not a preacher. I'm a deacon at a local Baptist church. He said, you're the one that comes down to the Good News Mission. And I said, yeah, that's where I recognize you from. Well, he was working part-time there at Methodist Hospital, Brother John, big old heavy-set fella. And he said, what's going on? Stepped out in the hall, and I told him, of course, Brenda was very gravely ill. And he said, can I pray with you? You know, that's something when a homeless man at a rescue mission, you know, he puts his arm around you and he prays with you for your wife. But see, you know, that's what God does. That's what God does. Well, through that day, another surgery and some more procedures, nothing seemed to change. Matter of fact, things got worse. Monday, October 24th, 2011, God called Brenda home to be with him. So after 31 and a half years of marriage, I felt a tremendous loss. Yet there was a peace knowing she was with the Lord in heaven, in no more pain and in no more suffering. By God's grace and overwhelming support from family and this great family, Lighthouse Baptist Church, I knew I would go forward. I cling to this verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You might say, well, Brother Schwab, how do you see that in losing your wife, your mate? Well, I believe God still had purpose for me in this life. And He does all things with His purpose in mind. And all that He does is good. So my prayer was, I will serve you, God, faithfully. And someday, God, if you would like me to remarry, then, Lord, please bring someone into my life that would have the same heart for the things of God that I have. And that was my prayer. I was just going to wait on God and see what He would do. Stayed faithful. You know, as Pastor mentioned, outside of our homes, this is home. This is a place of refuge. I couldn't get enough of it. It's where I wanted to be all the time. And everything I needed was here, from the preaching of the Word of God, to faithfully serving Him, to having sweet fellowship, to having the love and prayers of my family here at Lighthouse. I certainly had that. Well, it was about a year after Brenda had gone home to be with the Lord. The pastor, after Wednesday night service, came right down to me, and he said, Brother Lonnie, I need you to call Brother Dave Hardy. And I said, what am I calling Brother Dave Hardy for? I thought maybe I was in trouble or something. He said, well, he had talked to me, and he has a gal out in Lubbock, Texas, that you may be interested in calling. Well, what are you supposed to do? Tell your pastor no? You can't do that. So I called Brother Dave and talked to him, and he told me, he said, there's a lady named Darlene O'Brien. She lives in Lubbock, Texas. She was a pastor's wife at Bethany Baptist Church, and he passed away, and you feel free to call her. He said she's kind of like a sister to me. And Grace and I, his wife Grace and I, were praying for her. And you came to mind. And if you're interested, I'll give you the number. And I said, out of respect, I said, well, I'd like to call her pastor first. And so I called Pastor Denson there at Bethany and gave him my testimony. He said, well, Brother Schwab, I've already told Darlene that there might be a phone call coming from Indianapolis. So I had three preachers praying and setting this all up. So anyway, I called her, and I am so glad I did. The first night we talked for 2 hours, sharing our testimony. Her husband, Kevin, had gone home to be with the Lord some 4.5 years prior to us talking the first time. They had been married 32 years and served in full-time service for 31 years. Hearing her testimony and her heart for the things of Christ, and hearing so many of the things we had in common, I'll just share a few because of time. Her oldest daughter and my youngest daughter knew each other by going to school at Heartland together. I didn't know the O'Briens. I didn't put all that together, but see, God was already putting it together. And the more we talked, the more we found out the great connection that God had, the things we had in common, the Heartland Baptist Bible College connection, the GIBF connection, connections like, you know, I can remember Stephanie, Brenda's sister, asking prayer at a Heartland meeting or a GIBF meeting. And I can remember praying for Brenda. See, only God can do that. Only God can do that. Darlene praying for my wife. Wow. Then as we kept talking and finding out, there was so many people that we knew, so many connections. Another example, speaking over Christmas last year with Tad LaGrosse, telling him that I was seeing Darlene O'Brien. He said, oh, Kevin's wife. Kevin was the man that was instrumental in counseling me when I was doubting my salvation while at college. Boy, that just thrilled my heart to hear that. This family, this couple was dedicated and sold out for Christ. You see, God was putting in our hearts the love that He wanted for us to have for each other. And certainly, we fell in love. So on September 21st, just a few months ago, we got married. Praise God for that. And already, we've seen God bless our marriage and our service to Him together. We look forward to what God has in store for us in the future. You see, only God can do all of what He's done. And it's exciting to know that God started all of this. And every day, we're going to see His work in our lives. I've learned through the years as a Christian, as a believer, no matter the path your journey takes, to always remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God has been so good. God continues to be good. I give Him all the praise and honor and glory. Thank you.